Welcome to PDX Bluescast, show number 15, The Lloyd Jones Spotlight Show, is next. Welcome, everybody, to PDX Bluescast. My name is Pat McDougall. I'm your host for this musical podcast in which we celebrate and showcase the best of Portland, Oregon blues. This is show number 15, and this is going to be a departure from previous shows, and I hope it's the first of several shows that I'll do this way once in a while, but I'm going to call this a spotlight show, and this week the spotlight is on a special guest right here in the PDX Bluescast studios. It's none other than Mr. Lloyd Jones.
Wow.
Lloyd?
Are we here? Are we going? Is it blues time?
I think so. I think it's blues time. I don't know what happened there, but we're going with the flow. Welcome.
We got the rain. We got the wind. It's blues time.
I think it is. Geez, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
We talked about this for a while, and we finally worked out. It wasn't you. It was me working out a time that would make sense. And it's great to have you here.
Great show. I really like the idea of going digital. You know, at my age, that's a big step. But the whole idea of a radio show on the internet. I've heard so much about this internet thing. I'm thinking of looking into it.
But you may want to do that. There's a lot out there. Yeah.
Kicking and screaming the whole way, but I know it's going to happen. Part of this show was getting the first step.
There we go. Okay. What was the term you used with me? The cyberspace? Was that
I'm not supposed to remember this.
I'm sorry. It made an impression. No, I don't think it's true, frankly. But geez, it's good to have you here. And I'll tell our listeners, he did not come empty-handed. He's got a guitar in hand. And so you've got that to look forward to. But we thought maybe one way to get us started is to hear a little of the man and his music. And
set the Wayback Machine to
there we go.
19.
Yeah, you tell me. I don't know. You want us to talk about when? Okay, that was gone.
This is the Trouble Monkey CD.
Yes, it is.
This is a rare and wonderful experience. Ocean Way Studios in Los Angeles. Mm. An expanded band besides the regular band. Terry Evans, Ray Williams sing with me. And it was one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences, so yeah, let's hear some.
Hey, here we go.
Got me a letter in the mail just yesterday. Said Bobby come home sometime early today. I know when I got good luck, trouble may fall behind. I'm on my knees begging, please, give me just a little more time. Trouble don't call me today. I've got everything coming my way. I'm gonna shine up those alligator shoes I got. One's with a gold on the back. Go downtown, buy me big old silk shirt, big old Panama hat. She always liked me looking good as I could. She said it shows respect. I ain't seen it for 5 long weeks. Now you know I wanna look my best. Trouble don't call me today. I've got everything coming my way. Sweet love and all. Trouble don't call me today. yesterday. Said my baby she come home sometime early today. I know when I got good luck, trouble it all behind. I'm on my knees begging please, give me just a little more time. Trouble don't call me today. I've got everything coming my way. You know all I need, 24 hours trouble free from my ecstasy. You know somebody's in love. Oh baby, I need some solitude for my interlude. Oh yeah, hold all my calls. RSCIA, I'm busy. Trouble don't call me today.
All right, Lloyd Jones with
that
Don't.
That was Loose and Live.
I guess it was. Don't Call Me Today is what we heard there from the Trouble Monkey album.
Yeah, that was a great experience. And the one rule was live to two-track. 11-piece orchestra, live to two-track.
11 and, pieces?
No one got a bad hair day. That group was
And you went live
wonderful.
To two-track on every tune?
That was the rule. You know, I tried three or four times. I had half of that I was working on at home in my own project trying to get done. Yeah. So I said, let's do half that way, and half we'll keep the half I got done. They were so nice. They go, well, what we do at Audio Quest is live to two.
So that's
and this went on for months, and I finally said, you know, I guess it's going to be live to two-track. So it's definitely live.
I did not seem to suffer from that technique.
No, you know, I look back on it fondly because everybody did such a great job, and it's just got a warmth about it. There was no overdubs of any kind, so it was really easy.
Is that right?
It was like a good gig.
Oh, man, it's a the whole record is great, and listeners, if you don't have this one, you need to pick it up. And you had Terry Evans there doing backup vocals, right?
Yeah, I'd known Terry from years before, and I just called up, asked, you know, would you be interested, would you sing on a couple of tunes? And he says, well, send them to me. Huh? About 2 weeks later, I get a call. He says, I won't get my friend Ray, and we want to do this, we want to do that, and,
really?
And before I know it, he's singing on the phone, and he just walked in the room and brought all this joy, and I find Terry every time I'm going to record and say, Terry, would you sing? And
oh, boy.
He's a joy.
Yeah, some great stuff, and on that particular tune, Bobby Torres is way up front there with the congas.
Yeah.
Doing some great percussion work.
And my friend Reinhardt on drums got a new good gig with Gino Vannelli just recently.
Yeah, and is he already off
proud
on that?
Proud and happy. Yeah, they've been rehearsing. He's been playing gigs, and he's got a family and kids, and now he's got a paying gig.
Well, that's what you want. That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
Now, so the talk about that tune. What where does that come from?
Well, I think that's a good example of what it is I do, that I try to bring something different to this type of music. You know, I grew up on the traditional stuff, and I love it, and we'll do some later because we just have the guitar here.
Yeah.
And I love that, but I grew up being a drummer, and all the spicy rhythms from New Orleans and all around the world, to me, are blues, too. And that's what I didn't see happening. Everybody's doing the jump shuffle and stuck in that thing that, in its day, was opening new doors. But in today, I just think you need to bring your own voice to it, or you're just mimicking, and that tune has a couple of things that are, I feel, a trademark of what it is I'm trying to say, both rhythmically and lyrically. Songwriting is what I really enjoy, and it's saying in that song, you know, there's times you need to put your troubles away, throw the cell phone out the window, take some time for yourself, and put that struggle behind you for a little while each day, and that's what we try to do with the band, is make you feel good. So
right.
That's what that has to say.
Nice. And so you managed that word struggle sneak.
Oh, how did that get in there?
Just a little bit. So, and that's more than just a tossed off word in your vocabulary. That, I mean, there's some history behind that, right?
Yeah, we all get tied up in our workaday life, and I went through my own kind of troubles where music really pulled me away from it. Hmm. And I see it as a tonic, and so we'll do the struggling for the night. when I early on, again, I learned from some of the great old guys that made this up, because I was in that place at that time. And back in the 70s, Big Walter Horton came out here and played, and I put up S.P. Leary at my house and his guitar player at the time.
Wow.
They would show me a lot of these things, because I was just learning to play guitar. I played drums in those days.
Yeah.
And he'd say, well, that's got to be deep in the neck to get that full sound. And they loved that we were interested in this music, because they were coming to the end of their, they were getting on in years. And S.P. says, you know, I'm not ever going to be out here again. And you fellas got to keep this music alive. It's a struggle, but you got to keep it alive. And I just felt like they were really excited that this new young white audiences were thrilled by their music and wanted to share it. It was a more of a sharing time than these days seemed to me.
Hmm.
Musically, there was a great racial mix of music and audiences that I think when Martin Luther got killed, it put a wall up for both sides, unfortunately, and I'd like to see that come back together too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the pulse of this stuff and the groove, it crosses all boundaries. Everybody gets up and moves to it. It's irresistible.
Yeah. The sharing was a very cool thing. Backed up by Big Mama Thornton in those days. George Smith, one of the greatest harmonica players in its day. He was so inviting to sharing the music and teaching us that he would... Players would come out to... He was in this motel out on 160th and Division. All the windows broke out. And he'd put a big thing of beans on. He's working on his car in the gravel driveway during the day. And then come out, we'd bring... Tom Miller brought an upright bass and Gordy Keene. And I'm not sure Bradley was there, but a lot of us that were into this at the time came out. And he would tell us Muddy stories. He played harmonica with Muddy Waters. And he'd tell us these great stories and share the big pot of beans with everybody. And that's what a lot of this music was about, was getting together, people picking and playing and sharing food and stories of the music, and I just looked at that as college.
I guess so, as just old school.
Yeah,
and just coming
pretty
up
soon, that's all I knew, and that's what I got to work with now.
Well, yeah, and your sound is saturated with that stuff, obviously steeped in the stew. I don't want to extend the food metaphor too terribly far here, but I love the bit about...
No, they go so hand in hand.
Yeah, they do. A bit about the beans, you know, it's just, I mean... That's how that happens. That's what brings people together, and then you put some music on top of that.
Speaking of that, we go down to New Orleans as often as possible. It might be like once every 3 years. You know, it's not like every few weeks. I wish it were, and I really, it hurts to see all the difficulty in New Orleans, because there's no, for musician, that's Mecca. There's really no place so influential as New Orleans. And down there, music really is a part of the culture, and people do go out to socialize, food, drinks, music, and feel good, and it's just a lot more prevalent in the whole society and the culture in the South than it is up here. When I come home, I'm surprised that people think it should be in the background and talk over the cell phone, and down there, it's about us getting together, and what I'd like to see too. The dance clubs, I don't see like they used to be so much, and I think maybe we stay with it. We'll get over it.
Let's hope.
I think it's important to share time with lots of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, in that kind of old school vein, you had picked out a cut. Is this a good time for that?
Yeah. You know, I'll play some of the stuff that I grew up with, and then we can play some of one of the bluer cuts off of one of the recordings.
Okay.
But John Nicklaus was playing with Big Walter at the time I'm speaking of, and he would say, the rock version of, you can do that, but you need it. It helps a lot of bit if it's down lower in the neck. Find my baby, can't be satisfied. Now while I'm gone, baby, now won't you take it easy? Time is worrying you off of my mind. You ever been down? Know how I feel? Feel just like an engine, got no driving wheel. So
so all alone. Baby, now won't you take it easy, cause I'm just worrying over my mind. You know, while I was down, lost my wife and friends, when I got money, they come creeping back again. Now while I'm gone, baby, now just take it easy, cause I'm just worrying you over my mind. Trouble to a hard-working man. Now while I'm gone, you know I just take it easy, cause I'm just worrying you over my mind. Said it's all right for you. You want me some morning, baby, don't I won't need you. Now while I'm gone, baby, now just take it easy, cause I'm just worrying you over my, worrying you off my, I'm just worrying you off my mind.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, Big Bill Brunzee. He was the king of them all. Even Muddy Waters did a tribute to Big Bill Brunzee. He's like superstar Delta Blues.
Ah, you know that we have not. Sorry, I'm just going to recover here because we've not had the live stuff right here in the studio, and I.
I'm glad when you like the older stuff.
Oh, geez.
Kind of,
yeah,
the foundation of just, everything else.
Oh, I'm sure everybody's eating that up right now. Yeah, wow. Thank you for that. What a great example, yeah, of the classic stuff. And that's, you know, folks who have listened to any of your recorded stuff and have headed over to the Tillicum or wherever to see you, they haven't necessarily seen and heard you play something like that, but it is possible for them to do that on a weekly basis, right?
Yeah, Monday night, come down to the Steinhaus if you get a chance. Yeah. It's a little cozy place, a little funky bar on 82nd, and I just do it for myself to stay current with the stuff and to push myself to learn new tunes and
right.
just stay with it more. It's my sort of my hobby and release and relaxes me. Even when I played drums, I used to like to listen to Jimmy Reed and Elizabeth Cotton, things like that. It's an Elizabeth Cotton song. Mississippi John Hurt, one of my favorites, too. But it's really relaxing to me.
Cool.
She said, you miss me when I've gone. Think you'll miss my everyday song. And I know you're gonna miss me when I've gone. She said you'll miss my everyday walk someday. Gonna miss my everyday talk. And I know you're gonna miss me when I've gone. When I've gone. When I've gone to rest back home. Well, I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. When I've gone, when I've gone to rest back home, well, I know you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. She said, you'll miss my everyday walk one day. You're gonna miss my everyday talk. Well, I believe you're gonna miss me when I've gone. Yes, I know you're gonna miss me when I've gone.
Thank you. Lloyd Jones again, you're not just joining us because it's not radio. It doesn't work that way. But it's still worth saying. That's Lloyd
Jones.
That's
the cheap electric guitar version. She would do it, of course, on a nice big wood acoustic.
Yeah.
I'll bring that next time.
The wood acoustic, yeah.
Just didn't.
didn't have enough room in that big old van that you drove up.
Well, I never know what I'm in for, and this is more controllable. But
right.
Now that I've been here.
Yeah, good. No, that sounds great.
I'll bring that one out.
Very cool.
That's kind of what I do. Hey, speaking of cheap guitars, the screw just fell off the pickup.
that's real blues, radio, man. That's, that's how that works. Cool. Well, maybe to give you an opportunity to make any necessary repairs, you had... oh, good. Yeah, okay. You were talking about a track off the... Going back to kind of a slow blues thing. Is that something we want to do now?
Yeah, I mean, the reason for the band is a dance thing, but it's based on tradition. So, yeah, I thought maybe we'd listen to one that's just straight blues with the band.
Okay. This is Old News from Love Gotcha.
Be careful just like old news.
I
All right, there it is, Lloyd Jones and The Struggle live with I Can't Get You Off My Mind. We decided to give you a little twofer there. We went from old news from the Love Gotcha record over to this live one from 93, a tasty little cut.
Yeah, Pat, that goes way back.
Yeah.
Way live. And maybe gave it too live.
No, I can't imagine.
That's some real deal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, very good stuff. Let's see. So we went, we took a kind of a nice, slow, traditional blues, and then we went more to the Lloyd Jones songwriting style, a little original stuff.
Yeah, again, getting back to the dance thing, which I lean on with the band a lot. And that just playing that and hearing that again, and that whole thing was a time. Joe Louis Walker and I were doing some dates together, and he was really nice to me. And that was one of the first people I ever recorded one of my tunes. Joe Louis Walker covered that one.
All right.
And he somehow tracked me down in a hotel and said, "I got good news." And it was, that was a delight. My first royalty checks and stuff came from that. And then later on, stuff was starting to get out. Gate Mouth just passed, unfortunately.
Right, yeah.
Was real nice in doing Toughen Up, one of my earlier recordings. And Coco Montoya done one of mine. He called me at Christmas and said, "I'm doing No Longer a Part of Your Dreams. Merry Christmas."
Nice.
That's your Christmas Merry present. Christmas, but now he just called. He's going to do another one of mine coming up.
Great. Great. So I love his version of No Longer Part of Your Dreams.
Yeah. He's a great guy. We talked earlier about the stuff like this, that those friendships, Coco and all these guys that, we start interacting as we meet and travel and learn each other's tunes and share and all that kind of thing. And then later on, Coco called me about looking for a tune, or I'll get in touch with somebody, say, "Oh, now who do I talk to down in this area?" And we kind of help scratch each other's back. And I think down the line, and I'm just in awe of people like Jimmy Hall and sing like that. I go, man, that's just a natural chicken eating soul singing guy. But he may not be a songwriter. He's just a great deliverer of songs. And,
right.
I mean, that's not his main focus, but just a network of friends that I look back fondly on going, wow, it's just delightful to call Marcia and say, "What do you think of this?" And she just say, "It sucks, do that."
Marcia Ball.
She's been one of those that's, we talk a lot. She's into sailing and I'm into sailing.
Oh, perfect.
And we get to do that stuff. But that's probably my biggest treasure. And the friends we've made just in the audience and so on as we travel around. I kind of like going to other cities to see friends I don't get to see unless I go there.
Right, right. And that keeps you busy, keeps you on the road.
Yeah.
Marcia Ball I love because, yes, she's a great player and has a great voice too. But I think for me the most salient thing is when she plays, she has her legs crossed.
Yeah.
It just blows me away. I just think, God.
Elegantly.
She's a lady. Yeah, yeah. I love that. And then, so Jimmy Hall, we mentioned, you made the Triple Trouble record with, along with Tommy Castro. And
even back, I got to be B.B. King's opening band for a while. And,
right.
And they're like pals and sociable and friendly. And a lot of times, you're the opening act, and the other band will do everything they can to make the monitors bad and unplug things. I mean, they really go to an extent to make you not sound good, and it wasn't like that with people like that. And BB was a pilot, and I used to be one. So I asked him flying stories,
and I'll never forget.
He's right in the middle of telling me about his first time he soloed flying over Chicago Airport, and he didn't have a chart, and he couldn't find the airport, and he knew it was close. It's not like a car you can't pull over.
No.
So he calls the tower and says, I'm up here and I'm a student and I can't find the
air.
And they say, he says, his voice comes over the radio and says, "We have you in sight, wiggle your wings." And he's showing me being in an airplane and wiggling his wings with his guitar on as he hasn't gone up to the stage to play.
Okay,
he said, "You're going to do the couple opening songs and then he'll go up and play." And he turns around and he said, "So I wiggled my wings." And I'll just almost see Bibi be in an airplane. But that's a lot of the fun right there.
Oh, nice. Have you played with Tony Coleman at all yet?
Yes.
Because there's a guy.
Now I walked by a doorway and I went, "Who is the drummer?" I hadn't even got in the building and I went, "I'm going in here because I've got to hear this drummer." He was up in Yale Hotel up in Vancouver.
Oh, okay. Oh, jeez.
It was a jam on Saturdays. We were playing there during the week and then I think it's Saturday afternoon is a jam and they use your equipment. So I was walking by and went, "That's not just your dumbass jam. That's, whoa."
That's good
and
stuff.
And who is that drummer? And so I just marched right around, went up the backstage, went around, and I just walked up and said, you're a bad man. He was really good. He says, well, are you going to play? And I said, yeah. And we just played like we had played together for 20 years. He can read you like a book. He's
really?
A
that's,
monster.
That's big.
Not just a monster drummer, musician.
Yeah.
That guy's got ears, like, just forget
right.
about it.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, man, I can't say enough good about that guy.
Now, have you asked him to do his BB imitation?
No.
I don't know if he likes to talk about it, but he's done it for me, and he spent how many years on the road with him? 12
yes.
years, I think. And so he managed to cultivate. It's spot on. It's ask him to do it sometime.
I will.
It's hilarious. I hope I haven't put him on the spot. And, you know, we should, something I wanted to go back to is just, you know, folks hear you and hear your stuff. And they hear, I guess the, you know, the recent CDs, but you mentioned being a drummer, and that goes back to the 70s, and you were the drummer for a groundbreaking Portland blues band.
How do you know all this information?
I have a dossier. It's right here.
Yeah, like I was saying about the learning from the greats that invented this stuff that are a lot gone now.
Yeah.
We all did. I had this band called Brown Sugar. Jim Meese played guitar. It's frightening. That guy could play nonstop. As long as I've known him, my brother played with him before
Paul,
Brown
yeah.
Sugar, and they had a band called Moxie, and that's how I met Jim. As my brother went in the service and said, "Here, you be the drummer."
Okay.
And then harmonica player, singer guy Rick Aldrich named the band Brown Sugar and took it over. Later on, we had a piano player who replaced Aldrich, and Boogie Woogie piano player was just killing. And then he decided to follow religion and Buddha and Boogie Woogie Piano and Buddhism somehow.
That's
great
a
guy.
New combo for me. Yeah,
he was cool, but he didn't want to do the music thing for a living anymore. Mm. And Meese had heard about this guy, this kid. He's like a 17-year-old kid who plays harmonica like a freight train. You got to hear this guy. So go down to this place where there's this jam, and I thought I was going to learn how to play harmonica. You know, and I
yeah.
went down with my harmonicas,
yeah.
and I was horrible. And he hears me being horrible, and yanks out of my hands, give me that. And I said, I've been looking for you. So I just gave him my lamp and my harmonicas and said, follow me here. We're having this rehearsal. Come over here and play. And he played harmonica like Meese played guitar. They could play, I mean, just continuity, power, unrelenting ideas, not run out of ideas, both of them at a really early age and just focused like
wow.
ridiculous. And so we had a very powerful quartet. Al Kuzin played bass. He was just a natural born bass player.
I don't know if we've identified the harp player yet.
That would be Paul DeLay.
Ah, okay,
Paul
everybody.
DeLay, I'm sorry
That's
I got to miss
right.
that.
Some people saw it coming, but I just didn't, you know. We have a lot of listeners from all over the place, and so we want to make sure.
We just grew up playing, and Paul and
yeah.
I were more into the hardcore old-style blues. Jim and Al wanted to lean on it and make it. And I think it was cool that there was that.
Right.
That joining was really good. And we grew up playing music together. We were in our 20s and getting to back Charlie Musselwhite, and, and like I say, George Smith, even the Johnny Otis show. We were the opening act for Johnny Otis show. There's a place called Jack and Jill's out on 160th and Division. It was big, huge dance floor, dinner club, dance tables
wow.
down both sides, and Johnny Otis show with the Three Tons of Joy. And I mean, it was a big show.
Jeez.
We were learning. I mean, we really
yeah.
took the stuff serious. We could right. play, but we loved seeing the guys that had invented this, and they would come up and see that we were serious about it and open up and get us to play and show us things and help us. It was a very cool time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And I don't know who I have to pay off to score a Brown Sugar recording that we can someday feature on the show. But
I took the last box down to Millennium probably 15
oh.
years ago, but I'll bet I've still got about a half a dozen in the closet somewhere. I'm going to dig
right.
around.
All right. I'm gonna hold
the
you to
the picture alone's worth it.
Yeah, that's right. I know, well, both Meese and DeLay are looking bad. They just look mean in those band photos from then.
We were practicing our mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You're 20, how mean are you going to be? Oh,
so,
Musselwhite would tell us some great Chicago stories. I mean, he was toe-to-toe. He got a lot of respect, and he can go into the black clubs, and they would, you know, give him all kinds of grief, and he'd just... Okay, and they say, well, okay, this guy's serious, you know, we can
yeah.
push him around and torment him and stuff, and he wants to learn this stuff, and he wouldn't run home and cry, he'd come back, and he got he and Paul Butterfield were the first two white blues players to get into the Black Chicago scene. And I think it's because they respected the music and really came there to learn. Yeah. And they did, and they got shown how to do this stuff. And Musselwhite, I said, we've been traveling on long trips together a lot of times in the old Dodge, going up to Canada to play and stuff.
Nice.
And he'd be sitting there with a little cassette player on his lap and playing the Sonny Boy stuff and just studying, you know. And I'd say, so did you ever see Sonny Boy? He'd say, yep. I said, well, tell me about Sonny Boy. I don't know anybody alive that saw Sonny Boy. And he'd tell me, he'd say, well, Sonny Boy would walk in, no band or anything. He'd slam his case on the counter in Chicago and say, I want to play tonight and I want $50. Okay, it's a setup. That means a bottle and glass and ice.
Right.
And he said he'd never set foot on the stage. He'd walk up by the little table by the side of the stage and he'd just sit there. Sooner or later, it might be Otis Rush gig, somebody else's. They'd say, well, we got a celebrity in the house. We want to bring Sonny Boy up. He'd just sit at his chair. Sooner or later, he'd bring the microphone over. Well, why don't you sing one? And he'd say, oh, Sonny Boy smells something. Sonny Boy smells something good. And he'd lean over and he'd take the skirt of the woman next to him and just roll it back just a half inch. And he'd say, oh, Sonny Boy. And the place would just be screaming. And from that moment on, it was Sonny Boy's room. But, you know, those are the things I was saying that growing up and... Oh, Musselwhite should write several books.
I guess he should.
There should be a movie on him.
Yeah.
Man, what a source he is. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Who plays Musselwhite?
Nick Nolte. Musselwhite told me that somebody had written a screenplay and that Nick Nolte was to play him. And I went, yeah.
Seriously?
And then he started
telling
me, but there's a bunch of secret agent stuff in there that I can't even tell you.
Musselwhite?
Oh, he's great. Oh, man. You walk in the room, I'll burst out laughing because he's one in a million.
Oh, man.
There's nobody like him in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he put on a great set. Was it just the last Blues Festival or the one before? Now I can't remember.
One before. He's so understated.
Yeah.
But look out.
Yeah, that knowing, bemused smile on his face.
That's it. You got it.
You know, through the whole set, it's just like, yeah, this is what I do.
Oh, man.
So,
you know, we could do 6 or 7 hours of Musselwhite stories. Anyone I know who has spent any time with him, James Harmon was up to Candlelight one time. We're playing.
Yeah.
I see it's Harmon sitting there. And I hadn't really talked with him or visited with him. I was real aware of his music and really a big fan of his. And I see him sitting there. So I went over and I said, James, tell me a Musselwhite story. And immediately, you know, breaks into
launches
one.
All
good, boy.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Man.
Well, now, talking collaborators, people you've hung with, we mentioned the Triple Trouble CD. We certainly want to feature something from that. Any stories from those sessions?
Oh, boy, see, triggering all these wonderful memories.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is what I treasure. Is another wonderful opportunity that came up, much like the Trouble Monkey opportunity that just came out of the blue. You're over here hammering, trying to get doors open. No, no, no. And then something opens up, totally unrelated to anything I'm trying to do. And I got a call to do this cruise with Delbert McClinton. Does a thing called Sandy Beaches Cruises.
Okay, yeah.
And it's just wonderful. And it's unique in that it's like songwriter camp. I mean, you're a week on the ship with these monster songwriters that Delbert brings from Nashville that I would not have known about. A lot of them, Bob DePiro and people I would not have known of, had 13 number one hits. But you don't know him. You know Pam Tillis had the hit.
Okay, yeah.
Or somebody like that. But there's all these great songwriters and bands from the South, and he'll have several big name ringers, and he'll have Sleep at the Wheel and John Hyatt and Michael McDonald himself, of course. Marsha Ball and Jimmy Hall are always on it. Tommy Kester's always on it. Some regulars like that. And Gary Nicholson is sort of a pivot in the industry. I mean, he does producing, writing, with a lot of co-writing.
Heck of a writer, yeah.
And he's there. And then you go back the next year and see all his co-writing and intermingling. And the whole time on the ship, they were, you know...
That's where it's coming from, is these cruises.
Yeah, they're saying, I need a ballad. Or I mean, well, go talk to Steve Bruton. He'll always throw something unexpected. And it's sort of like Delbert is the host as far as just kind of putting you all out there and go for it, and encourages sitting in and getting to hear these other people, and then they go off on their own and socialize and write. And it's a unique, healthy music environment. Then if you're just someone going on the cruise, you'll have so much fun and make so many friends that half that cruise are people that have gone on it every year because they want to visit with all their friends they made on the cruise. So that's another experience that I just say I cherish those friendships.
Oh, man. Sounds like you could do the thing without even the audience. You guys would just have enough fun, mm-hmm. just the musicians getting together and writing and playing and all that stuff.
Oh, but my wife gets furious because I'm not around. I'm going, well, but this, I was just stuck. I get the, but, so, go
have your fun. Nice.
So, yeah, that Telarc thing, the Triple Trouble, came up with Tommy Castro. Got called originally, and he was really kind to suggest me as one of the other players on that. They have three. It's a compilation record they do every year with different people.
Okay.
And they asked me who the third person would be. And at first I was thinking Marcia Ball, just because it's a different instrument, and I'd sent her some stuff, and we'd been talking, and she couldn't do it, so I said Jimmy Hall.
Hmm.
And they said, that's who Jimmy said, or Tommy said, Jimmy Hall too. And I went, wow. Well, we're going to have some fun now.
Oh,
and
geez.
Then when I got there, found out it was Double Trouble, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan's old band.
It was just
Tommy Shannon and Chris Layton there. So
okay,
those two guys and myself wound up learning the stuff. And then Jimmy and Tommy showed up and we went crazy. And it was some of the best time and nicest people I've been around. Because I didn't know Chris and Tom, and they just come to play. Let me tell you,
powerful stuff.
Good spirited.
Yeah,
we got there a day early, so we wound up playing sides back and forth and visiting, catching up and talking, and nice. That Texas hospitality. But they are all business, and it looks so easy. And all the time I was playing say, Jimmy wants to do this song, and I go, ah, great songs. And he said, well, play it again.
Yeah.
Play it one more time. And I go, okay. He says, you want to do one? I went, what? Let's play one. They had memorized everything. The intro, all the little licks go up to the bridge,
wow.
the little unison thing in the guitar. So, I mean, they memorized everything while they were sitting there. And they wanted to do a for real take. Now, we hadn't even played together. Haven't plugged in an instrument, nothing. They go, let's go. And they nailed it first time out the shoot on 10. And I'm going, huh? What? I went, oh.
You gotta come ready.
Yeah. Loud and proud. That's the Texas way.
I guess.
So I learned a lot and I had fun doing it.
That's one of those records where the spirit, the energy that was there in the studio, it just comes blaring out at you.
Good.
The speakers. Oh, God, yeah. We should demonstrate that. We'll play, what are we going to play from that? We're going to play Sometimes, right?
Yeah, Sometimes is a good group effort there. And
okay.
And poor Jimmy, I had his lyrics on a piece of notebook paper all scrawled on there. I came up with that tune the night before getting on the plane, and I hadn't even really finished it.
Wow.
I thought, well, we'll just play with it. I thought we'd throw stuff around and practice and try stuff. And so I just held up the words and said, what if we do this as a duet? And you find a harmony, and he's trying to match, read the words, match the timing, and find a harmony all at the same time. And just sweating bullets, but he just went after it. He just dug right in, and we got a song.
Let's see what you think. Here it is, Sometimes.
Sometimes it makes me happy, like a singer with a band of song. Sometimes it makes me cry like a baby when she's gone. Sometimes it brings me pain. Sometimes it makes me never want to see the girl again. I will only be there like the sun is gone and the rain. She got something just for me. Makes me want to be her man. Sometimes she loves me.
Lloyd Jones there with Tommy Castro, Jimmy Hall, Chris Layton, Tommy Sheehan, and probably Reese Wynn is on the keys, right?
Yep. He wasn't there at the time. They added him later, and I didn't know. I remember saying, they sent me my track to put a solo on, and they said, and I heard it back and went, oh, man, this isn't working at all. You know, it should be piano. And they said, there is.
Really?
Oh, really? It's too bad they did some harmonica. They said, there is. And what they sent me was the out track, not the track we're keeping. They just sent me some funky outtake.
Oh, really?
To put, just for the timing to put a solo on. I haven't done things that way ever.
That's a far cry from the audio questing we talked about before.
I wound up in somebody's apartment bedroom with the guitar, and the amp was this guy's Marshall in the other bedroom.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I thought, you're kidding, right? And then there's a computer with a picture of a board on it.
Nice.
And I went, okay, I've never tried this before, but that's how they do it now.
Yeah, it's a make-believe studio. It seems to work. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been around a long time, so now we're going to celebrate that we've lived this long. It's our 21st birthday as a band, so I guess as a band we have to grow up. And that's, you know, that's been around a long time, and so I just wanted to celebrate, especially the people that have been still coming out after all those years.
That's right, we appreciate that, man.
And I want to develop a new audience, too, because I think there's probably people now that were not born yet that would like to style of music like we did.
Cool. So we're having a party?
So we're having our 21st Lloyd Jones Struggle birthday party at the Gemini out in Lake Oswego on Saturday, this Saturday the 11th.
Okay, March 11th. Now, some people may listen to this podcast long after it's been posted, but let's be clear, the people who are downloading it right on the day it's released.
March 11th.
March 11th, 2006.
Year date, 2006. I don't have the coordinates.
Thank you, Captain. At the Gemini in Lake Oswego, and it's going to be what? Are there party favors? Is there cake?
I'm working on the cake now, there will be party favors.
Oh,
and really,
man,
you can do pretty much anything you want because it's a nightclub, not your house. You know, it's got that
durable benefit.
Flooring that you can pretty much spill anything, and
that's all upside right there.
Room to just do stuff you can't do at home. So party
cool.
idea.
And it's the full band.
The entire orchestra, horns, the works, and if you say, remember the dandelion, we'll knock a buck off the cover.
Oh, to a Scotsman like me, that's great. I save a little.
Super. Yeah, like he said.
And the Scots are huge blues fans, as you know. And then, so what about the old 21-year-olds? Are we doing something for them?
And for them, we really would like to make new friends. So if you're brand new to nightclubbing, and this is a great world, if you're new to nightclubbing, right here, I say two for one.
Two for one?
Yeah, the one that's going to drive you home gets in free.
Excellent.
So that's two for one if you're 21. Hey,
what a deal!
Oh, it's like a radio. That was
live. How'd you come up with that?
I don't know.
Very nice. So that's you must be getting geared up for that now.
I am. There's been a lot of errands.
Yeah.
And
you guys are
toys
are
and fun.
Rehearsing and stuff and getting all tight.
And what?
Never mind. The R word.
No, I heard someone else say that. What?
People talk about
rehearse?
It now and again. You know.
I don't know.
One approach.
I got to find out what that
it's
is.
It's just it's a one approach.
I got to find out more about that cuz a lot of people I hear are doing it.
Well, you know, do what works.
No, we're going to have new songs and stuff, too.
Excellent. Oh, wow.
We're going down to Lefty's on the 25th to make a live thing. I don't know what'll come of it, but at least we can check out what... So a lot of these songs that I've done over the years have evolved to another thing than they were when they were recorded.
Naturally.
So I kind of want to do a update on that and some new stuff and
That's
put it on the wax.
Oh, quite a night. Okay. So it's two big dates coming up.
Plutonium. What do they record on now?
They use the platinum, I think.
C-rays, I think.
Kryptonite, or I'm not sure.
Yeah. Cyber molecular recording.
Now, before we let you go, because we are nearing the end of the broadcast, we had a little giveaway contest.
Ooh!
And we asked our listeners, starting 3 weeks ago, I guess, we asked our listeners to answer this most difficult of Lloyd Jones-related questions. In the 1980s, Lloyd Jones fronted a band with blues bad boy Curtis Salgado. I don't know that he's a bad boy. I just
talked with Kurt today.
He'll never come on the show. And I wanted people to tell me what the name of that band was.
That was one of the funnest bands. We never had a picture. We never made a recording.
And that's what
and we were together
mad.
6 years and played really well together.
Oh,
that was a real united, strong band.
Well, all right. And the band, I guess we can reveal it now. The name of the band was?
Oh, I can tell him now?
I think you can, yeah, because the contest is over.
There was no adult supervision in this whole period of time. Might be why we had so much fun.
Could be.
Great music. It was called In Your Face.
Yes. Okay. Well, we had a number of correct entries, and so we're going to have Lloyd do the honors here. The winner of this drawing is going to get, well, we'll talk about that.
Ah.
So here we go. Here's the blues pork pie hat.
Rolling up the sleeve.
Goes. All right, make your selection, Mr. Jones. Maestro.
Yes, you may have already won. What is that mean?
Who will win?
And that would be, well, I can't say it, Miroslav.
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 That's my guess.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
And he's a long distance blues
this
lover.
This guy. Yeah, let's see. Let's look at that real quick. Please pardon me. That is Miroslav. I guess that's the, all he gave me is a first name. But he is listening to the show. He's in Cumming, Georgia, which is just north of Atlanta. A native Oregonian. He was born and raised here until May of 2004. He says he'll be back someday. But for now, he keeps up on the blues with the Bluescast show, which is really cool. Thank you, sir. And
thank you so much.
For your troubles, we're going to... What are we sending him, Lloyd?
Well, you have your choice now. Yes. You have your choice of... You can have any CD you want, or... We have vinyl of the first two recordings, The Lloyd Jones Struggle and Small Potatoes.
And you'll autograph those babies, or that baby.
I've been practicing up. I can get all the way through my name now, and we're ready to go.
21 years
big
later.
Party.
Yeah, he can do that. Well, that's really cool. We will get in touch with Miroslav and get his preference, and we'll be getting that out in the mail, which is so cool. So congratulations to Miroslav. Congratulations to Lloyd Jones and the Struggle for 21 years of musical amazingness.
Well, thank you, Pat, for what such a wonderful show. Now, this is a whole new world for us, and I'm glad you exist. Keep at it.
Well, I intend to. It's too much fun not to at this point, and folks like you have been so cooperative and so supportive that it just makes it that much fun. And I have this sneaking feeling that we're going to have you back.
It's a good thing. I'll come back anytime.
Yeah, because that live stuff, that was so tasty. I know people are wanting to hear more, and so we will do that. But for the time being, we're going to sign off, and I'll say really quickly, like I do every week, if you want to get in touch or send some suggestions, comments, feedback, there are three ways to do that. You can go to our website at www.pdxbluescast.com and post a comment on the blog there. You can also send email to letters@pdxbluescast.com. And finally, you can use the PDX Bluescast hotline, and that's found at 206-203-3PDX. 206-203-3739. Leave us a voicemail message, and unless you tell us you don't want us to, we'll probably play it on the air just so everybody can hear all the good things you had to say about the show. I don't even know how long it is right now as I record this, and so clearly it's time to be done, I guess. And so I'm going to say a big thank you once again to Lloyd. Everybody get out to the Gemini on the 11th and catch that show. It's going to be just a barn burner. And meanwhile, with the rest of your time, get out there, like I say every week, get out there and hear these performers live. There is amazing music being made here in town, and it's the best way to hear it. What else can I tell you? So for now, thanks again to Lloyd. Thank you so much, Lloyd.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. I'm Pat McDougall, your host, and I'll see you next week. And until then, keep the blues alive.
Was that?